and Norm Shealy. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Welcome to Infinite Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and tonight I have with us a friend of mine, Susie Cohen, and I'm so proud of Susie. I have to tell you, I met Susie years ago when she wrote her book, Drug Muggers, and she was just out there, not beating down the doors and, you know, trying to share her information with people, and now she's so busy that she, I had to almost plead with her, please, Susie, please come on. And she graciously agreed to come on my show tonight and share this very important information with you. So I want to thank Susie because I know she's on the road and she's in a hotel and she sent her family out to eat. So she doesn't even get to be with her family tonight. So thank you, Susie, for coming on. And before we get started, why don't you just tell us a minute or two about you and where people can find you before we get started.
Sure. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be on your show, and you're just so professional in the work you do. I just so admire you. So I agreed to do this show because of you, and I love you so much.
Thank you. I'm honored. Ever since I first read the first word that you wrote, I've been a fan because
that's
so good.
Sweet of you. You know, people don't realize that I'm a pharmacist for over two decades. I graduated the regular way up from the University of Florida in Gainesville and came out like any other pharmacist, you know, knowing the next best drug and how they worked and all their interactions. And, you know, I was a whiz at this, like, it's super good. And then over the years, I started to realize that my patients would come back to the pharmacy or they would call. And they would complain something was bothering them. They were throwing up. Maybe they developed a headache or they had a rash. Like, bad things were happening to them, or at least uncomfortable. And I felt bad. I'm rather impressionable. And as a young woman in the healing profession, just wanting to help people, I started to feel really sunk that, like, what this medicine that I gave to this person isn't helping, or it is, but the side effect is worse. You know, it really made me think. And so I got into nursing homes about maybe 3 or 4 years into my career, thinking that I could help the residents. But even there, I had very little impact because, you know, things are paid for through insurance and they don't cover vitamins and minerals. And the point of all this is, you know, I'm asked all the time, what's a nice girl like you in a white coat doing in a place like this, meaning the health food store? And the reason is because I've learned the body runs on vitamins and minerals and enzymes and all of these cofactors, neurotransmitters, hormones. That's what the body needs. A synthetic medication can help temporarily, but it's not usually the answer, at least the long-term fix to disease. So that's really how it all happened. And that's why America's most trusted pharmacist, i.e. me, really likes to talk about natural medicine.
Well, where can people find you, Susie?
I'm on Facebook, and I take questions on my Facebook. It's actually facebook.com/SusieCohenRPH, and it's SusieCohenRPH for registered pharmacist. That's the best place to find me because I take questions there and I answer people. I have a website called DearPharmacist.com, just like you're writing me a letter, DearPharmacist.com. And you can use the search box and put in any search term that you want to learn more about. And if I've written an article on that, you'll find it there. And I'm also on Huffington Post.
And I want to tell everybody, I know Susie's on the road now. She's been on Dr. Oz. And have you been on Oprah?
No, I went to an event sponsored by Oprah, and I did a book signing for her. So I know her, and I met her. But I've never been on her show. Just the Dr. Oz show several times, like 4 or 5 times.
So watch
Good Morning
for Susie
America
and whatever that you live in, because she's out there and traveling around. And Susie, I would like to tell you why, it's been years since I last had you, but I'd like to tell you why I called and asked you to do this show. Back in September, I had a massive heart attack. And a really bad, one of those little maker heart attacks, you know, where you blow out the back of your, you know, the left side of your heart. What do you call that? Chamber there. Anyway, I had a Widowmaker heart attack. But because I've been on supplements for years, specifically things like carnitine and amino acids and minerals and things, it didn't kill me. And so when I was in the hospital, the doctors put me on a whole, as you can imagine, a whole regimen of pharmaceuticals, one of them being a statin. And he came into my room the second night after the heart attack and said, okay, we put in one stent today. Next week we're going to do four more. Next month we're going to do four bypasses, and we're going to put you on the heart transplant list. And I said, no thanks. And he looked at me and said, well, you're a dead woman then.
So oh, I get on. God, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. And ventricle. It blew out a big aneurysm on the back of my ventricle. And had I not been on the supplements that I've been taking for the last 15 years, I would be dead, because I've had five family members die of this heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
no.
So I came home, but I'm doing great, okay? I chose an alternative path. I'm doing lots of holistic things that I'm doing radio shows on, so my public can follow me and do it for themselves if they want to, or at least know it's there. But the doctor said, here's your prescription list, and he handed me the list, and the first thing was a statin, and I looked at him, and I said, do you know what this does to your heart and to your muscles? And he kind of looked down at his feet, and he said, well, yeah, I read about it. And I said, so you know that I just had a massive heart attack, and you're prescribing this thing that will make my heart muscle fall apart. And he just looked at me. And I said, but do you know what carnitine is and coenzyme Q10? And he looked at his feet and he went, well, I've read about it. And I went, so you know that I need these things, and you know that the drug that you gave me is going to deplete every bit of it in my body and make me die in the next 5 years. But you're giving it to me without a prescription for CoQ10? And he had nothing.
He probably didn't know
that. So I went, okay, who do I know that knows about health issues? It doesn't have to be about heart. Who do I know that knows about health issues and pharmaceuticals and nutrition? And, of course, you came to mind. And then I just happened, you sent something out on your Facebook, I think, that said talked about your pancreas, understanding pancreatitis and pancreatic cancer, and that's a deadly disease. I know that Nick Gonzalez is treating it, or has treated it successfully up in New York. And when I saw this, I just happened to meet a white lady in our little community here who I drove to the hospital the night before I got your email that had pancreatitis. So I went, you know what, I need to get Susie back, because people need to be reminded about medicines and nutrients and things that they
I'm
can
so
do other
glad
than those
you
things. So here you are,
you
and the floor is yours.
Story, and I'm so glad that I posted whatever I did on Facebook. You know, people with coronary artery disease or any disease, they have more nutrient deficiencies. So it's really crucial for people to have their minerals assayed. And this is not stressed in medicine at all. And just to give you an example, over half of the U.S. population has suboptimal levels of magnesium, which is a key cause of sudden cardiac arrest. That's low magnesium. And it can also, by the way, can cause angina, atrial fibrillation, and other arrhythmias. It's tied to, when I say it, I mean low magnesium. It's tied to high cholesterol, hypertension, heart failure, depression, exhaustion. This has been known for decades. So when I hear that somebody has a heart attack, I think, did anybody test them for magnesium, or at least are they being supplemented with magnesium? Like, that's very huge. And then there's other things we can talk about as well.
I have a specific question about magnesium, as a matter of fact. I'm aware of all those things that you just talked about magnesium. And believe it or not, I'm one of the few people in the world who is not even deficient in magnesium, because years ago, when we first met, probably around that time, I met Norm Shealy, and I were talking about transdermal magnesium and how you could never restore your levels with taking it orally. So I did transdermal magnesium, and intracellularly, I have plenty of it. But one thing I learned when I had this heart attack, I had quit taking oral magnesium. And when I had this heart attack, I started back taking magnesium carbonate and magnesium glycinate, things that I'd made fun of because, you poop them out before you can absorb them. But it occurred to me, they do just that. They help, and forgive me for brazenness here, but they help people have a healthier poop.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just me, that, or do you know some facts about that?
Well, it'll help you go. I mean, magnesium will help you go. Too much of it is a laxative.
Does it help with bile acids and cholesterol and stuff to take it internally?
Yes, it does. I recommend it internally. What he said is, partially true. It depends what supplement you take. Magnesium oxide, which is available at pharmacies nationwide, is a very poorly absorbable form of magnesium. It's really more useful as a laxative. So is magnesium citrate. That's better absorbed, and I do recommend mag citrate. Sometimes, it's very inexpensive, but the better forms, in my opinion, and this is my opinion because it's my show with you, is a magnesium that's tied to an amino acid, like you said, magnesium glycinate or magnesium taurate or magnesium aspartate is another good one, because when it splits in half, you get the other portion going to work in your body. So let's take taurine. Magnesium taurate will break apart into magnesium and taurine. Taurine is the number one amino acid in your heart. A heart will stop without enough taurine. You'll get all kinds of palpitations and arrhythmias. So it's like getting double bang for your buck if you buy mag taurate. And that's just, that's just one thing. If you buy magnesium malate, just this example is interesting for your listeners, that breaks apart into magnesium and malate. Well, malate is also known as malic acid. That's an extract from apples, and it relieves pain. So does magnesium. So magnesium malate is wonderful for people with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and pain syndromes, where magnesium taurate I might suggest for someone with cardiac concerns, or magnesium glycinate, also excellent.
That's great information. And by the way, I just want to tell my listeners, neither myself nor Susie are physicians, and we're not here to attempt to treat or diagnose you. Susie is kind enough to share her information as just that, information to help you make an intelligent decision about things that may be going on in your body. So I just want to make sure that's clear. So.
Yes, and thank you for that. And also, as long as we're on the heart, something that I love to save lives. So thank you for putting me on air and helping me and shine a flashlight into the darkness for people, because this might save somebody's lives. I'll tell you right now that it is so necessary for certain vitamins like vitamin K2 and vitamin D3 to help the heart. And those have been shown in studies to help stop heart calcifications and to slow progression of cardiac diseases. So this was shown decades ago.
Did you say D as in dog or B as in boy?
Mm-hmm.
D3 or B3?
D3, vitamin D3, like you get it from the sun, but you can take supplements.
Now, do you recommend a particular form? And the reason I ask that question, I ask questions, I hope you know, kind of like a deposition, because I'm asking them for a reason,
Mm-hmm.
I took 50,000 units of vitamin D a week for a year, and I weighed a little bit over 150 pounds. I'm 5'6", and I'm a very strong woman. A larger body frame. I'm not real fat. I just have a large frame, and I have a lot of muscle. So I took 50,000 units a week for a year. I thought after a year that I would have adequate levels of vitamin D or D3, but I was deficient when I had my test done.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, my
well,
form must be bad. Or is there a gene or something?
You're not... I didn't hear your question because my phone is sketchy, but what I heard was what you took for a year, and that's a massive amount of vitamin D. To not increase your levels could mean one of two things. It could be you have some kind of genetic SNP that prevents you, or some liver or kidney compromise that prevents you from fully activating your supplement to its active form called calcitriol, which your liver has to do in part, and then so does your kidney. So it has to be done in two places in your body. So something's not converting. The other thing is you're taking a synthetic form of vitamin D. The 50,000 units is a D2, which is sold at the pharmacy. It's a prescription level. And it sounds like an awful lot, 50,000 international units. When you go over the counter, all you can get is like 1 or 2,000 or maybe 5,000. Maybe you can find 10,000 international units, right? So you're taking 50,000. Holy moly, that sounds like so much, doesn't it? But you know why? Because it's synthetic. It's a drug. It's not bioavailable. It's not body ready. Your body, specifically your liver, has to spend a lot of antioxidants to turn that drug back into natural D3 like you could have bought at the health food store. You see, it has to be slightly different from natural. You can't patent it. So what a waste of your antioxidants. You could just take natural D3. I would suggest the emulsified versions. It's just EMULSIFIED, emulsified vitamin D3. And there are some brands that you can buy. You can look on Amazon. I think Life Extension makes one. I think Biotics. Ooh, am I allowed to mention these people? I don't know.
You can
Is that
start
okay
in.
With you?
You got the floor, and anything you want to say, as long as it's the truth, is good with me.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Some people are like, no branding. So, I don't work for these people, so I'm just trying to be helpful. But you can look. Just put in emulsified vitamin D3, and you'll get a better body-ready form of D3. And so you need to get that up. Levels should be somewhere around 50, I would go even higher. I would say 70 would be perfect for me. That's what I'd like to see people. And when you do that, you lower the risk for almost all cancers.
Great. Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about your pancreas book. First of all, let's talk about the books, period, that you've written so people know that they're there. And then we'll get into a particular question. You've written The 24-Hour Pharmacist. You've written Diabetes
yes.
Without Drugs.
Yes.
Drug Mothers.
I would do that. I want to talk about my books, and thank you for giving me that opportunity. But before I get there, can I just say one last thing about heart and blood vessel repair? Because that's so huge for you. And I adore you, so I feel like I need to get this out for you and all of our listeners that have cardiac problems. So you need to think about, you already mentioned carnitine. I love that. Ribose, you said. But also arginine could be important in small doses, not high. Taurine.
Yeah, that's a problem
for
me. I've gotten cold sores since I was in the first grade or before. And day before yesterday, I thought, okay, I know that's the last thing that I'm missing. Because I've been really rigid on what I'm doing. And that's the only thing
well,
I'm not
you're
doing.
Doing okay,
so I took a
you're
gram
fine,
of it.
But,
well, actually, I broke one in half and took 500 in the morning, 500 in the night, and the next day I woke up with a cold sore. How do you deal with that? Because I know I need that.
Well, then it's not right for you, and I don't recommend arginine to everybody because it can become pro-oxidant very quickly if you don't have all the cofactors on board. So maybe just stay away from that because when you carry one of those viruses in your system, then it's just a reactivation. Like when you have chickenpox and it gets reactivated, as an older person may get it as shingles. It's like this. We can't get the virus out of you, so I would just say just avoid it. You're getting enough from your diet. Like, don't worry about it because it's going to going to reactivate you. But to help alleviate those, I would consider, you know, revving up your immune system. And it sounds to me like you need a little bit more D. And maybe some mushrooms like maitake or a beta-glucan, which is the extract. And then
okay,
the glycine would be
good.
Very crucial for you. So because
what
the
was that
stems
last
now,
time?
They contain chemotherapy, most of them do now. So some of these things are very crucial to detoxifying what you get from your stem.
Okay.
Does that make
Thank
sense?
Thank you. Because I'm my heart function was down in the 30s when I had the heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
I
did,
went
did you
in
take
December
CoQ10?
And my heart function was up to, it was up, I think, 42.8 or something like that. And,
yeah.
Well,
do you
and the
take
aneurysm,
CoQ10?
I had a CT scan, and the aneurysm is gone. There's a little scar tissue there, but the aneurysm, and it was a big one. It's gone. There's only a little tiny spot of scar tissue. So I want to prove to the world that you don't have to have veins ripped out of your legs. So thank you. And you don't have to have somebody else's heart put into your body. So thank you for helping me accomplish that.
Are you on CoQ10, Eva?
Yes. I'm taking 400 a day. And actually, Steven Sinatra is a friend of mine. And in the last 2 months, he's kind of jumped in here and started helping me do some things. And
did he mention tocotrienols to you?
You mean the vitamin E or what?
Not vitamin E. Tocotrienols are part of vitamin E, and they are 60 times stronger in terms of antioxidant than alpha-tocopherol, which is typical vitamin E. So
is that what they call mixed tocopherols? Okay, I have something called mixed tocopherols. Is that
no,
the same?
No, it's not the same. It has probably some tocotrienols, but you can buy tocotrienols. They're 60 times stronger than as an antioxidant than alpha-tocopherol, which is typical vitamin E, and they've caused 32% regression of plaque and double the patient's treadmill ability,
okay,
like within 4 months of taking it.
I'm writing it
these
down
right
now.
Heart-healing nutrients.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So
sure.
One more question I have. Oh, I don't want to get too far into this, but one thing that I noticed right when I had my heart attack, right before it, was I had very ammonia-like urine. And had I known that meant something, then I could have been clued in, but I didn't. So maybe for my listeners, could you tell them what you know about that?
Well, you can have ammonia everywhere. I mean, we can sweep it out of the brain with certain things in terms of a heart attack.
Or anything. Even I see you talk about it with your pancreas. But the fact that smelling ammonia in your urine is telling you something.
Well, it's liver or kidney damage. Probably kidney damage. That could be one thing. It's common to various conditions. I mean, people with Lyme disease who get bit by a tick will have excessive ammonia, but you can get it from hepatic liver disease, like hepatic encephalopathy, and it'll cause excess ammonia smell because the toxins aren't getting properly broken down. So, I mean, if you have that smell, then yeah, that could be a sign of liver damage. But again, it could also be a sign of Lyme disease, too. Usually, the odor is in the nose. You can smell it there because the breath smells funny. And there's mm-hmm. things that you can do to get rid of it, like taking lactulose. That's a drug that'll sweep ammonia out. And there's another one called Sulfatrin. This is a supplement you can buy over the counter. Actually, it's online only. It's derived from flowers that look like sunflowers.
How do you
spell
it?
Sulfatrin. It's not for heart disease. It just sweeps ammonia out of the body and the brain.
Is that the thing that they're using ketones for? Are they using that for ammonia?
No, they use this to. It's called Sulfatrim, not Sulfatrim like the drug, and it pulls ammonia out of the bloodstream. And obviously the brains for people who make it. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that like making a claim. It's just an herb. I mean, it's just the little droppers of herbs that help people. I mean, if you really have hepatic encephalopathy or hepatic damage and urine smell in your urine, this requires medical attention. I'm just talking about people with chronic Lyme disease that are trying to get ammonia out of their body that don't have anything serious going on in terms of cardiac stuff.
So what about, how do you how do you support your kidneys if you have too much ammonia?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, don't worry.
I'm a pharmacist. I don't know. I've never really worked, in that arena or ER or whatever to figure out what they would do. I mean, they didn't teach us about that.
So let's talk about your books, your new book. Do you have any more books that I haven't already mentioned?
Oh, probably. I don't know. The first one's a 24-hour pharmacist, which is like a health handbook from head to toe, and it's called the 24-hour pharmacist because you have me 24/7. You can look up anything: toenail crud, heart attack, fibroids, snoring, anything, osteoporosis, depression, and you'll have my advice in it. And that's a best-selling book. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of copies have been sold. It's in numerous languages. Then after that, I came out with Diabetes Without Drugs, because you can reverse diabetes without drugs. It's that easy. And that one is phenomenal. And three chapters of that were extracted to put in a classroom where physicians had to learn in order to become board certified through the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. But it's written for people. It's just that it's so pioneering and the information is so remarkable, and it's helping people with, I think it's helping them save amputations and blindness and kidney damage.
Does it work with
general
diabetes too? Because recently I met this woman who said, I have a coalition, a co-op of people who have diabetes. And some of the people are juvenile. Can you treat juvenile diabetes with nutrition?
I do believe you can. It's mainly about type 2 diabetes, but I do cover a little bit on type 1, and you can read the reviews on Amazon. And I've had people write to me and say that they were able to finally get off insulin, but it took a little while, a few months, maybe a year. A lot of times juvenile diabetes could be related to intake of certain foods that contain protein. Like for example, sometimes dairy is a culprit. Not for everyone, but sometimes. And sometimes it's genetic attacks on the beta cells and the pancreas, and they just stop making insulin. But sometimes it's a foodborne antigen that attacks these beta cells, and then you pull that food antigen out of their diet, and 6-8 months later, they're doing better. It's amazing. And it's all in the book. You can test yourself for these food antigens with various labs I recommend, and I recommend measuring your insulin as well as your glucose and all the ratios. I give all of that. I also talk about thyroid as an underlying problem that drives diabetes, which is very overlooked, and there's incorrect testing, and I talk about how to correctly test for your thyroid, which is information to be found nowhere. So it's quite a remarkable book. I'm really proud of it. I've had a lot of people say, I don't even have diabetes. I just follow your work, Susie, and I really wanted to just see what you had to say because I'd heard it could help me with weight loss. So I read it and like, oh my God, it's your best book. So I really like that one. And then after I wrote Drug Hugger.
So before we go on, what is the testing that people need to do for it? Because I think that's really important. I think it's important for people to know. They don't even know to ask for the testing.
For testing for which part?
The thyroid.
Oh, that's like a whole hour-long radio show.
You can just say a blurb. Ask your physician for these tests, and then we'll move on to your new book.
And they're not going to do them a lot of times, because I talk about this on my Facebook quite frequently, probably several times a week, how to measure your thyroid properly. So if you'll come like my page, you can, go through my timeline. It's a fan page, so that's open to the public. Don't try to friend me on Facebook because I'm maxed out, so they won't let me take more friends. So you have to go to my fan page. But anyway, I talk about this all the time, and some of the people will say most of the time the doctors will test them after they ask them, but sometimes the doctors won't even test them properly. And one example of, you know, getting tested properly would include the fact that they measure your TSH, which stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. And, you know, that's fine and dandy, but I don't really care what your TSH is because it's a brain hormone. So it doesn't say what's going on intracellularly for a person. And this is a problem for me. It should be a problem for you, for anybody, because they're basing your dosage on a hormone that your brain is producing, not on the actual amount of thyroid hormone in your body. They're looking at a feedback loop. And so when your TSH is measured, they're just evaluating a non-thyroid hormone, and then they're basing your dose on this thing. So to me, that's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't matter to me if your TSH is high or low. You need to be measuring your free T3, and I would do your free T4, and I would do reverse T3. And this is all explained in my diabetes book. I know that's funny because it's thyroid, but it's all explained in my diabetes book because if your thyroid isn't working properly, that's your mother hormone, you're not going to be able to lose weight. You're going to be tired. Your nails are going to be brittle. You may even have some kind of heart arrhythmia. You're going to be cold all the time. Hands and feet are cold, losing hair, feeling so tired. I mean, it's just terrible. And then, you know, of course, then the insulin and blood sugar problems kick in thereafter. But there's usually a 5 to 10 year window before the diabetes results from the poor thyroid. So you've got some time. If you're listening to me, go like my fan page on Facebook and go back on my timeline. There's videos of me talking about thyroid and how to measure it and what it all means, and just, you know, take an hour and study it or get a copy of my diabetes book. It's all explained in there.
So your new book, Pancreatitis, is an ebook, and I imagine that it's available on Amazon or
Yes,
internet,
it's available as a Kindle on Amazon. It's available as an ebook for people who don't have an e-reader like that. And I wrote this shortly after Steve Jobs from Apple died. It was a book in my brain, and it's rather long. It's like 136 printed pages. I mean, when I say ebook, that conjures up like a 20-page book. This is 136 pages, and it's pretty remarkable. I mean, I've gotten so many accolades because I've enlightened people to why they may have pancreatic damage and they don't drink. See, most people associate pancreatitis with alcoholism, and that's not the case for many people. So when they get pancreatitis, it can be quite painful. It's an inflammation of the pancreas. It's really painful, and you can lose a lot of weight from this. It'll put you in the ER. They just look at their doctor blankly, like, I don't drink alcohol, I swear. And many times the physician will be like, yeah. Well, you know, I go through a theory in here as to why many people in the mass population are suddenly getting pancreatitis and how they can stop it and what they need to do. And if they do drink alcohol, how to correct that by taking supplements. But the most remarkable thing about this book is the section on pancreas-saving supplements. And I actually talk about things that protect the pancreas, even from, you know, possibly even helping with cancer. So it's pretty remarkable. One of them is an extract from a citrus bioflavonoid, like, and also found in chamomile. It's called apigenin. So just drinking chamomile tea contains apigenin. It also inhibits pancreatic cancer. That's just amazing.
So what would be the symptoms that someone might first have?
Oh, well, obviously it would be
imagine
pain.
Imagine that my listeners don't know anatomy, so they don't know where their pancreas is. So
where would they
first notice?
Okay. Well, the pancreas is both an organ and a gland. It's located directly behind the stomach, and it's sort of near the beginning of the small part of your small intestine. And the little gland secretes digestive juices and enzymes, which basically just help you digest your food, break it down from larger globules into smaller globules and then into like amino acids and glucose and all the things that we can absorb. So pancreatitis just means inflammation of the pancreas. There's acute and there's chronic. The acute one comes on very quick. It announces itself with upper abdominal pain. It's usually on the left side that radiates to the side and your mid-back. And the pain can be just kind of dull, but it can also become severe and excruciating, even after you just have a little nibble of food or a sip of water. And so eventually it starts to radiate. The whole belly becomes tender and painful. And you might even get jaundice, which is where you get yellowing of the skin. So an acute attack could last several hours to several days. And many people are hospitalized, about 210,000 people are hospitalized with acute pancreatitis each year. Now, the good news is that 90% of people with this condition will fully recover in a week, probably never happen again. But it is scary and it's dangerous. And for many people, it'll happen over and over and over, especially if they eat fatty foods or they drink alcohol, like I mentioned, that's possible. And that's when it becomes chronic. Now, the chronic form lingers for months, and it's a slow destruction of the pancreas. Basically, the pancreas is eating itself. It's supposed to be eating your food, right, and digesting your food. It can be eating itself with chronic pancreatitis. And like I said, it's entirely possible for people who don't abuse alcohol, for total abstainers, to develop chronic pancreatitis. So, and all of this is discussed completely in my book. And I thought this was interesting when I researched it. You can get a scorpion sting, and that can cause acute pancreatitis. Isn't that just crazy?
Yes, it really
people
is.
With cystic fibrosis can get chronic pancreatitis, and people with high levels of iron.
Interesting.
And people with celiac.
I'm looking at, your pancreas book, and you talk about gallstone, your gallbladder and pancreas. What is that connection?
Gallstones could form, and if they go to pass, because we sometimes can clear these things on our own, they may try to pass through the pancreas. But they're small stones, right? They're made up of bile that's been hardened, maybe with, cholesterol and stuff. So they block it, and so that can happen. It traps digestive enzymes in the pancreas. So in other words, your pancreas is secreting these digestive enzymes to break up your food, right, so you can absorb it. But if there's a stone in the way, those enzymes can't really get past it. And so those enzymes just start eating your pancreas. They just start digesting itself.
So the gallstones don't cause the pancreatitis, they just cause interference. I mean, pancreas doesn't cause the gallstones, there's just some interference there. I just want to understand that.
Correct.
Right.
The gallstones, they're ubiquitous. 20 million adults or more have gallstones. And only 1 to 4% of people actually have a symptom, right? So, and of that, it's so small, only 5% of those people will actually go on to develop what's called gallstone pancreatitis, which again is where the stone gets in the way of the pancreas duct, and then, the pancreas has no choice but to start eating itself because the enzymes can't get out of it.
Oh, wow.
I'm putting it really simply. If a doctor was listening to me, it would be a little bit more, surgical and more formal, but that's basically what I'm trying to say.
Well, it really works to the, you talk about a lot of things in this book, and I don't want to get into all these things because I want people to go buy the book, but I want to spend a few minutes talking about hypoglycemia, and then I want to tell this quick little story about how I had gallstones. And I got a blocked common bile duct, and I cleaned it out with olive oil and some bitters. I passed 2.5 quarts of gallstones overnight. So I want people to know you really can do things at home to help yourself. So
yeah, you're lucky.
That's your book,
good. I don't recommend that people do that because if they get stuck in the wrong area, I mean, it's a hospital emergency. So I never recommend that people do that on their own. But you can. I mean, that's fine. I've heard so many success stories with it. It's just that it would make me nervous to tell somebody because there's always that one person that isn't going to pass it all the way and it's going to get stuck. But
I was going to have to go to the ER if I didn't do something. And you know me, I don't like allopathic medicine. I just hate it.
I know. And you're supported.
Okay,
your angels are always flying with you.
And it helped me. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got 20 minutes. And I'd like to know a little bit about hypoglycemia, because so many people have that, which causes addiction problems and mood disorders and energy, you know, lots of things. And then I'd like to, if you don't mind, talk a little bit about your Drug Mugger's book. I mean, I still refer to that book regularly.
Yeah, sure. And I also have one on eczema that I just put out a few months ago. It's called Eczema, Itching for a Cure, which is really a fascinating, I'm selling so many of those. People absolutely love that book. But anyway, so starting with the pancreas, it secretes insulin, which lowers blood sugar, and then there's glucagon, which raises it. So insulin and glucagon have to be, you know, in balance, or you're going to become hypoglycemic. And hypoglycemic just means that you're low in blood sugar. So that's basically, you know, what happens. So if the pancreas starts to have problems, then, you know, you're probably going to have high blood sugar as opposed to low, but it could be either. Now, dandelion is an interesting herb that can help people with hypoglycemia, and it's a root. You can buy dandelion. Well, actually, you can buy the leaves and put them in your salad, too. And the root doesn't have insulin, but it does help with pancreatic function. And you'll see dandelion in a lot of supplements that support diabetes as well as pancreatic problems. So you can buy it. You can buy supplements or like maybe 1,000 milligrams two or three times daily. You can buy dandelion liquid extract. You can, again, buy it right in the produce section at health food stores and cut up a few pieces in your salad. But you mentioned something super interesting to me. You said bitters. Dandelion is a bitter. It doesn't get more bitter than dandelion. If you've ever tasted it, you know what I mean. So our American palate doesn't like bitters, but it is probably the single most healthiest thing you can do for yourself is to train yourself to like bitters. It's so important. Anyway, I just thought that was pretty cool.
I love them. I actually went out, yes, I had I don't know if you know Roland McCrady from HeartMath, but he was here yesterday. We did a conference, and I had a house full of people, and I said, okay, we're going to have a unique salad tonight. We all went out into my yard, and I pointed out greens and bitters to pick. So we had dandelion and chickweed and I can't remember some other things, but that's what we had for supper last night.
That's so cool.
Tell me about your Drug Mugger's book. Tell my listeners about that fabulous book you wrote, Drug Mugger's. Absolutely fabulous. If you're using allopathic medicine, because you don't know what else to use, you need to know what's in this book. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is one of my best-selling books, maybe the best-selling book. It is an amazing book. Basically, it talks about how people can feel well while they take medicine, because sometimes people just need to take it. I'm not getting in the way of that. But they get these side effects, and it can be very bad for them. So people who take acid blockers, for example, you know, like things like Prilosec and Prevacid and Nexium, Zantac, Tagamet, things like this, they are suppressing the acid. They're lowering the acid in their stomach. But you see, you need acid to eat your food. But anyway, when you lower the acid, you're going to stop absorbing your minerals and your B vitamins the way that you should, okay, because you need acid to do all that. So suddenly you're going to become deficient in certain nutrients that your body needs to run all those chemical reactions in the body. Remember I told you how the body runs off hormones and neurotransmitters and vitamins and minerals? Well, if you're not absorbing and extracting that from the food you eat anymore because you're on an acid blocker, you're going to be deficient. So I call antacids and acid-blocking drugs, I call them drug muggers of pretty much every nutrient you have. So you wouldn't want a supplement with a B complex or a mineral. I like Hawaiian spirulina for minerals. I love that product. It's great for hair growth and nail growth. And probiotics. You would want to supplement with all that. Can't say enough about probiotics. Love those too, every single day. Now, if you take certain medications for anxiety, they can suppress your levels for melatonin. So anti-anxiety drugs are drug muggers for melatonin. So you'd want to supplement with that, or you may find that over time your sleep isn't as refreshing as normal. So those are just two examples. Another big one is with birth control or hormone replacement drugs. They smash levels of magnesium, zinc, and B-complex. So you would want to supplement with that. So the point of the Drug Muggers book is for you to look up your medicine and to say, aha, I have all these horrible symptoms and side effects. I need to take this vitamin to eliminate or reduce those side effects. So people love the book, and as soon as they buy one, they read it. It develops legs. Their neighbors and friends take it. They end up buying a couple more and give them away as gifts. But it's a pretty cool concept. Nobody's ever talked about it. It's basically the drug nutrient depletion effect, something I call the drug muggers effect. And it's not just with drugs. It happens with coffee. Coffee is a drug mugger of iron and magnesium. So if you love your latte, you're going to be deficient in iron and magnesium. What will that do? Low iron can cause dizziness, cardiac palpitations, paleness, chronic fatigue. Low magnesium, we talked about that at the outset. It can stop the heart if you run out. So the point is, if you love your lattes, that's a drug mugger of two key minerals that you need to supplement with. I'm not telling anybody to stop their medicine or stop drinking the drinks they like. I'm telling you just what to supplement in order to offset it. Same thing with wine. What you need to take if you drink a glass of red wine with your meals at night. It's all in my Drug Muggers book.
It's one of the best books I've ever read, Susie.
Thank
it's
you.
It's easy to read. It's easy to understand. It makes perfect sense. And you put charts in there. So you can look up your drug, and it's really easy. Just look up the drug that you're taking, follow the chart across, and see what supplements you need to take. Like that statin I was talking about, the doctor should have told me. He didn't know that I already knew, but he should have told me, oh, by the way, I'm giving you this drug, and you need to take CoQ10. And he didn't. So Susie's book, in my opinion, helps you fill in those blanks that you don't know exist.
Mm-hmm. And there's more. If you're taking a statin drug, more literature has come out recently. It's not just CoQ10. You need vitamin D, and creatine would be helpful.
I'm going to write this down.
This is cutting-edge stuff. Nobody's talking about it. I am. I shouldn't say nobody when I am, right? And I'm all over the airwaves and Facebook and HuffPo and, you know. If you follow me, you're going to hear information probably 10 years before anybody else tells you. And I can prove that. I mean, they were talking about recently how statins cause diabetes. Well, I wrote about that years ago, like maybe 7 years ago or 8 years ago. This isn't anything new. It's just somebody's decided to, you know, talk about it. But my followers are healthier for a reason.
So you've got 10 minutes. Well, about 8 minutes. You get to talk about anything you want to talk about. You can talk about where wherever you're going to speak, or some new thing that you know about. The floor is yours.
Sure. Well, let's talk about eczema for a little while, because that's my latest book.
Okay.
So eczema is an important thing, you know, for people because they suffer with it and there's not a lot of help, and it's important for them to understand, you know, how they can help themselves. So one of the things is people don't realize that they're allergic to metal, like your jewelry, necklaces, eyeglasses, rings, maybe even coins that you touch. And it's true. I mean, there was a study published last July that was entitled Coin Exposure May Cause Allergic Dermatitis. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And you can actually test for yourself. You can test for metal alloys to see whether you're allergic to nickel or jewelry. And this is important for people specifically, especially with hand eczema. It's called dyshidrotic eczema. So that's important. Also, histamine. A lot of people don't think about histamine, but, you know, they think about histamine when they think about sneezing in a flower bed or going for a walk in a park, but, you know, they think, oh, I want to take some Benadryl or Claritin. Well, those drugs are good. They may be good for someone with eczema because it lowers histamine. So that's pretty cool. And probiotics. Sometimes all you need to do to help a person with eczema is to give them probiotics, because probiotics are the seat of good health. I think they're fundamental for good health. I take my Dr. O'Hara's every single day, sometimes twice a day, and I love that company. I do book signings for them. But you don't realize you have a flora fingerprint. This is huge. I'm going to tell you something you've never heard. Your fingerprint in your gut, in terms of like the bacterial strains that you have, is different than mine and every one of our listeners. It's a fingerprint. Your flora fingerprint is different. And it's because, you know, of how we get it at birth or through the birth canal. So this whole idea of us taking a trillion CFUs of one organism and then a bunch of strains, like a dozen strains of something we don't have, and then a dozen more. I mean, these things are bugs, right? They're bacteria. When you take them as a supplement in terms of your probiotic supplement, if you're taking a bacteria that you weren't born with, you're introducing a germ to yourself. Your body's going to launch an autoimmune attack, and it's going to be low grade, and it may make you feel worse. So I need you to really pay attention to the fact that the probiotic that you should take should be one that causes your gut bugs to flourish, the ones you were born with. Don't introduce new strains to yourself that you weren't born with. And so that's like one reason, that's just one reason that I like the Dr. O'Hara's brand, because they have just the very basic bacterial strains that everybody has. They don't try to introduce fancy smancy.
You know, I have never thought about it that way before. What a valuable piece of information.
Yeah, your body sees a new bacterial strain as a germ, and your Th1 cells go crazy. They're like, oh, right. So now when you start your probiotic supplement, whatever brand you choose is fine by me, something that, like I said, that supports your own flora fingerprint, as I call it, I want you to realize that it's repopulating and recolonizing your gut. So you may feel a little discomfort. It's possible to get cramps or tummy upset or maybe diarrhea or something for a few days. Usually that goes away. Sometimes it can go on for like 5 to 10 days. It could go on for 2 weeks if your gut is really a mess from eating a lot of processed foods and refined sugars and things. But after a couple of weeks, if you're still dealing with issues, tummy issues, that probiotic's probably not good for you. Or if you're feeling worse, like if you're having more pain, you say you have a pain syndrome and it's getting worse, that's speaking to you. That's saying that you've introduced a bacterial germ that isn't part of your flora fingerprint. You need to switch probiotics and take a brand that, you know, that's different.
Is there any way... is there any testing or any way to know which one you need to do?
No.
It's such a logical piece of information. I feel embarrassed that I've never thought about it.
No, I know. And I'm, cutting edge is my middle name, right? So this is like emerging science. We all have a different flora fingerprint. We get it from mother's milk or from mother's vaginal canal as we exit, you know, as babies. And what we eat in our first few days, and it's set. That's set. It can go, it can change, and it's usually annihilated by a poor diet. So probiotics are important. And also, get this, if your appendix was removed, like you've had an appendectomy, that's a garage for probiotics. If you don't have that, you've had an appendectomy, you have taken out your warehouse, your storage unit for where you store probiotics. They are a must. You better be on them. And I hope that your surgeon told you or your doctor told you that. So this is all very important. And, you know, we talked about this as it relates to eczema, but I think the use of probiotics extends much further to the mass population, because your immune system is in your gastrointestinal tract. And So your GI tract has to be healthy because that's where the seat of immunity is. And eczema is an immune system disorder, and so is psoriasis, and so that's kind of how we got onto it. But also, so is chronic infections. So any medicine you take, medicines, all of them, every one of them, over-the-counter or prescription, they are drug muggers for your normal flora, i.e. your probiotics. So if you're taking any medicine, I don't care what it is, anything, you need to be on a probiotic, and then you can refer to my Drug Muggers book for more specifics, like if you need more riboflavin or more B6 or trace minerals or spirulina or whatever. But probiotics are fundamental.
Great information. One more question. We've got 2 minutes left. I just thought about this. My son, when he was 5 years old, fell on his bicycle and lost 3/4 of his pancreas. Is there anything he should do to support it?
Yeah, I would put him on some digestive enzymes. Maybe something like Enzymedica's Digest Gold would be good. Or maybe Cal, K-A-L. Cal makes one called Pancreatic Enzyme. And so because he doesn't...
Is it like a bovine thing, or is it amylase, or what's the specific thing in there?
Sometimes they're glandulars from, they could be bovine, yeah. Digest Gold is plant-based. That's a plant-based enzyme. But the pancreatic enzymes are animal. They're probably bovine. And basically they contain amylase to digest sugars, lactase to digest dairy, and lipase to digest fats. Proteases to digest proteins. So, but they just help assist the pancreas to do its job. So that's what I would do with
it. Okay. Thank you, Susie, so much. I know that you're running hard, and I really do appreciate your taking the time for my listeners and for me. Please go to Susie Cohen's Facebook page and like it. What is the name of it, Susie?
My website is dearpharmacist.com, and you can just click like for the Facebook link. It's dearpharmacist.com. If you want to find me directly on Facebook, it's facebook.com/ Susie Cohen RPH.
And please take a moment to go Amazon and just look up her name. You'll find all of her books, and I promise you they're worth the $10 or $15, whatever it is that it costs. They're worth twice that for what it can do for your health. Thank you, Susie, and good job. I'm so proud of you and all the things that you've done.
Thank you, Eva. Take care of yourself. Right. We need you, okay, dear? We need you. So keep doing what you're doing. You sound great.
Thanks, honey, and good night.
Good night.